All right? And it's something we learn from studying the scriptures and which we apply, and then we have experiences to back that up. Last time I emphasized the fact that we must remember to acknowledge God for everything in our lives, no matter how simple the thing is. All right? Maybe somebody, you're feverish, and somebody says, take a tablet for malaria. It gets cured. You get cured. In the first look, I say, man, this medicine is powerful. That's a mistake. What did I say? It's a mistake. The medicine is not powerful. God is what? Merciful. It is not the medicine that is powerful. It is God that is what? Merciful. I explained something which also we discussed last time. Let me just review that very importantly for a few minutes. And that the third commandment that God gave the people of Israel was that they should not take the name of the Lord their God for a vain thing. You read many translations, it says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I read the Young's Literal Translation, and it specifically said, do not take the name of the Lord, that used the word Jehovah there, but it was talking about Yahweh, you know what we're talking about. Just say the Lord, all right? It said, don't take the name of the Lord for a vain thing. And when I studied, I realized that that was actually the major, because there were three commandments, all right? One, he said, thou shalt have no other God, all right, before me. So, as long as you are my people, you cannot have any other God. All right, so the people agreed, okay, that all right, we'll have only this God, this Jehovah or Yahweh, whichever name you want to call him, as our God. And that's a number two, be careful. Even though you don't have another God, don't claim that you saw me in when Moses came to the mountain and you carve an image of me. Or I sent an angel to you, you carve an image of him so as to represent me. That was number two commandment. Number three commandment is, okay, we're not going to do that. We will not have any other God. We will not carve anything. But what if iroko tree grows naturally and the iroko tree has the features of God? We will not go to the iroko tree and say, this is Jehovah. Are you getting my point? Because they don't do that. That was commandment number three. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God and apply that name to a vain thing. That was the commandment. So God may bless you from the cypress tree. Don't ever call that tree God. God may bless you. You know, may see rain falling from heaven. Don't ever call rain God. Are you getting my point? God may bless you, and he, of course, you know, everything we have on this earth, every single thing you have on this earth is tied to the sun. Yeah. That's a matter of fact. Go and think about it. Let's take energy as an example. You know, okay, let's start from food. How does food grow? There's what they call photo what? Synthesis. You have to sun synthesize. The sun, the energy comes from the sun. The energy with which I'm moving my hands right now actually came from the sun. Because if you know enough chemistry and physics, the energy from there was packaged using rearrangement of molecules. So when I eat the molecules in starch or whatever it is, I digest it and release that same energy in my muscles to be able to move my hand. It comes from the sun. You talk about wind energy. The only reason why the wind can blow things is because the sun heats up parts of the earth. So while that part is heated up, air starts rising and creating a lower pressure, so the other one starts displacing towards that side, and you call it wind. The sun is very powerful. That was why in Egypt, they worshiped the sun. Are you getting my point? God said, all right, no matter how much you understand how powerful the sun is, don't ever call the sun by my name. You must not apply the name of the Lord your God to a vain thing. So the sun blesses you. The sun is just an extension of my power. You don't call that sun by my name. That was the third commandment. And that was the one I was saying that Aaron broke when he made a calf and said to them, behold your God that brought you out of Egypt. I was reading a commentary, and it said that calf was made, which was one of the problems. They took an image they learned in Egypt. They called it, I think, Addis or something. They formed an image after that one and said, we cannot call it Addis. We cannot call it the names of the Egyptian gods. Why? We cannot have another god. So this image you have made, let us call it by the name of the God of heaven. So Aaron said to them, behold your God that brought you out of Egypt. And that was a breaking of that commandment. And I'm saying to us again, as Christians, as children of God, we have to be careful that we acknowledge our God at all times, with our words, with our actions. Even though he uses people, we never ascribe the name Father to anybody. Are you getting my point? You walk in a place, there are people that they are trembling. Once they hear rationalization, they want to sack people. People go begin pray, tremble, start sowing seed against sacking. You hear that a bank, let's take a bank like, you know, there was consolidation of some banks at that time. So, some banks, previously big banks, were swallowed by banks that were smaller than them. It was a real Egyptian story. Are you getting my point? Some lean cattle swallowed up big cattle. So people, of course, you know the way it is. They shaved off more than half of their workforce. A lot of people, before that comes up, they start trembling. What will happen to us? If we get sacked now, where do we go job? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we pay children's school fees? Let me say to you, you don't know how we disobey God every day. If that kind of thought runs through your head and you allow it to stay, because it's okay for it to come in, as long as it does not stay. Once it comes in, you quickly open the second door. I say, oh boy, pass. Come out this way. And listen, there's nothing wrong with funny thoughts entering your head. Like somebody said, it's like birds flying. You can't say they shouldn't fly over your head. How are you going to do that? He said, but you can surely ensure they don't build a nest on your head. In the same manner, you go to work, everybody say they are sacking people, PAC, and PAC has now become EEDC. After EEDC formation, then they start sacking people. They become afraid. Listen, let me tell you something there. Your job is not God. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And what I see all the time, you know, my wife was telling me something today, that two of her customers, they've been laid off from where they were working. Very nice jobs they had. And I say, hey. I said, what is a need? I said, pray for them because they need to get a better job. I said, but as for you and your business, you can only grow richer. You will not become poorer. I just made that statement without thinking. Yes. And that's Christian mentality. That is what? That's a Christian's mentality. I cannot give my job the name of God. If you decide to wipe out the whole offices, all right, where I'm working, you announce it to me ahead of time. I simply say, this is not God. It's because people think that that job is God. That's why they're afraid to lose it. Let thoughts come through your head. Tell the thought something. Say, listen, yeah, they have bought this company. They are going to sack everybody. Say, number one, my name is not everybody. That's number one. Well, peradventure, God says, this has come to an end. The Bible says he takes away the first to establish the second. It is God. My life is in his hands. My life is not dictated by the whims of the CBN governor or by the privatization of a power company. No. And this is very important. If you don't utter these words, you see, you often will lose battle. People will be trying to help you. What are you going to do now? I don't know. Hey, and you have bank loan, don't you? Hey, my sister, and so. Hey, if you had gotten that wonder visa lottery before they stopped Nigerians from participating, she for better. Say, so I say, and too. And in your mind, you are thinking that, listen, this person is saying, I don't agree. Oh. Listen, is the one. He said, don't say in the presence of the messenger there is an error. Don't open your mouth and talk nonsense. Tell the person the truth. That is where you are fighting. All those things you hear, those are the things I call the echoes of accusation. As soon as they start doing that talking, you talk back. Say, they are laying people off. Say, that's their business. Even though the fig tree does not blossom, what's my business? I will still rejoice in the Lord. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. I will walk upon my high places. He said, what does that mean? Okay, let me say it to you in English. You tell the person, let me now say it in English, or the language you understand. Now, one, there's a scripture that says God sometimes takes away the first so that he might establish the second. You tell the person that sometimes this job we are doing is nothing but Mount Seir, which we have been going round and round and round and round and just circling this mountain. Maybe it is time to go northward. You tell the person simply, you know, the Bible says the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. So, you see, if I live here, I can only shine brighter. It will not happen that I will go down. So you are not afraid. What is there to be afraid of? This company is not God. This was an arm of God for this season. This season may have come to an end. We are moving to another season. Tell the person, I wasn't planning to die here. Do I own the place? You know what they generally tell you? Ah, thank God for you. I like your faith. That's what people always tell you. Thank God for you. I like your faith. Listen, we must not give the name of our God to a vain thing. No matter how well pleased you are, no matter how well paid you are in that beautiful company where you are working, you must never apply the name of God to that company. No matter how, even if God spoke to you, my son, my daughter, you shall go to this particular beautiful company and work there. That is not an eternal word. It's a word for a season. Are you getting my point? And he can still take away that first to establish a second. And I want Christians to always set their eyes on glorious things. It is better to be a giver than to be a receiver. True of us? True of us? So it is better to pay salaries than to take salaries. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
It is. That's the kind of thing, you know, you put your mind on that. Whatever you do in life, have a giving mentality. You don't look at a company and say, this one is God. And sometimes people don't use the name God directly. Of course, we are careful. We don't use the name God directly. This is how we pay our fees. Oh. This is where money comes from. Once you keep saying it like that, what you are doing is that you are applying the name of the Lord to a vain thing. Very important. People are calling over, why is America not giving us Ebola vaccine? Ebola medicine. They are not God, amen?
Amen?
They are not. God in heaven, when we cry to him, the thing will just evaporate. Phew. Just disappear. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. The name of God, remember what we said? It is those who call upon the name of the Lord that will be saved. They are the ones that will be saved. It is not those who know that there is a God. It's not those who claim that they are Christians. It is those who call upon the name. And what does it mean to call upon the name? It doesn't just mean to say, ah, God, help me. See, let me say something there. God is good. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
God is also faithful. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
There's one scripture I read in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom was speaking. He said, I'm calling now, but people are not answering. He said, then one day will come. They will call upon me, I will not answer. There's a reason why I'm saying that. Sometimes people cry to God and say, God, help me. I say, why is God not answering? God says, it is simply because when you say God, I don't know who you are talking about. Why? All your life, you have used the name God for somebody else. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, you know, I always like to give this example because it's so practical for those of us who live in this country. From the time you were in school, you are declared that the Nigerian economy is bad, therefore there's no hope. So they say, where is hope? They say, hope is abroad. So the day you say, God help me, what I heard was, abroad help me. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. So you see, it is not just that last moment when people claim to be shouting the name of God. It is who you have been calling God all the while. And remember, God is not just the word, G-O-D. It is the source of life. Who is my helper? And that's actually what I want to talk about today. I just want to talk about God. Are you getting my point? Let's just talk about him so that people would understand. It is who you have been calling God that you actually are shouting to at those moments. And that's why sometimes it appears as if he doesn't hear. And one of the ways you know is when people, you know, I said something at the beginning. Actually, that's where I started from. And I remember what took me in one particular direction. As if people sin against God, but they are afraid of the devil. And I said at the beginning. People sin against God, but they are afraid of the devil. What do I mean? They know the word of God, but they will disobey his word to please a human boss. Now, it is the person you obey that's actually your God. Yeah, that's not supposed to be a joke. I mean it like that. So if you habitually disobey the word of God to please a human being, the day you shout, God help me, God will tap that fellow and say, they are calling you. Somebody is shouting your name down. Maybe the fellow is in trouble. He's in Osun State, you know, right now. He's in trouble. But the man, he has been breaking the word of God to please every time. He's in Enugu. So God goes to the fellow and says, in case you can't hear, they are calling you. You know, there was a time the prophets of Baal were shouting. Elijah said, maybe he traveled. So he can't hear. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That's why it's important. That's why I'm talking about the names of God. It is how you describe God in everyday life before the time of crisis, actually. That's the person you can call upon in the time of crisis. There's something I give as an example all the time. You know, one of the things that saddens me in Christianity, in fact, you know, I've said this to you before, that one of the major problems we have in a country like ours, in fact, not one of the major problem we have, is that the church behaves like it has lost its servant. God cannot judge corruption in PDP or in federal government if Christians still lie with his word so as to collect money. That is a worse corruption than the one government people are doing. If I, as a preacher, I stand here and I say, God spoke to me that the first 20 people that will give 50,000 naira, there's a special breakthrough coming. If God wants to judge a man who chopped 1 billion in Abuja, in the courts of heaven, the person will ask God, say, that pastor in that Enugu, you have not done him anything. What are you trying to do to me? Because he has chopped more money. He has done more terribly. That's a matter of fact. All right? Please, I'm going somewhere. So I keep on saying that a major problem, the major problem in a country like ours today is that the church doesn't behave like it has some salt. I won't go into details about that. But just bear that in mind. I'm going somewhere. I'm talking about the person you obey being your God. That's the person you call in the day of trouble. One of the things that saddens me, I was saying, is when you see Christians behave as if they are unbelievers. You know, somebody asked me the other day. He said that, what do you have to say about, just as an example, what do you have to say about the sex of children? That is, whether you have boys or girls or any of those. And I said, listen to this though. This is where I'm going. I said simply, you can like a big car, you know that. You can like a sports car. I don't like sports cars. In case God is speaking to you to buy me a car, don't buy a sports car. I don't like them. It's just me. Nothing wrong with it too. But I find it funny when you want to drive, you lie down. Yeah, sports cars, that's the way they are. You have to recline to get the full effect. That's how they are designed. That's so that you don't topple over when you're speeding. So no matter how much money I have, I will not buy a Ferrari. Yeah, nothing wrong with it. But if I had plenty of money, I could buy a Bentley, which costs as much as a Ferrari. But when you stand beside it, it's almost your height. And it's a car. I could buy a Rolls Royce. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is the fact that you can like one thing and somebody likes another. In the same manner, you can like a boy and somebody else likes a girl. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe all your life, maybe you're a boxer. So you want to train your son in how to box. So you want your wife just born boy, so that me and the boy can be going to the gym. And you know, for silly things like that, I know interesting thing, God likes that kind of thing. It's okay, give him two wicked boys. You know that kind of thing. You know, that is not a big deal for him. So I said to the person, I said, listen, this is where I have an issue. If I, there was one man I told you about it before, about him. I gave a story about him on Tuesday. He was the first one to share this when we were young. He said, if you come to him, and he used to do this, when women will come to him, because it's an African setting, all right? They will come to him and say that they are, of course, they've had two or three girls, the family people are making trouble, they want a boy so as to silence all the enemies, you know, that kind of thing. He used to do something, that man of God. He will pray for you. And believe me, in 10 months, maybe maximum 11, you are going to have a baby and it's going to be a boy. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. But guess what? He will never pray for you if you're a believer. He only prays for unbelievers. When he said, I was young when I first said it, I said, what? That if you're an unbeliever, no problem. I said, come, sit down there. He will share the word of God with you. You will kneel down, whether you come alone or come with your husband, don't worry. He will lay hands on you, believe me. 9 to 11 months, you are going to have a baby and it's going to be a boy and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But the only problem is that if you come in and say, ah, good afternoon, brother, this, okay, how are you, sister, this, yeah, you're a Christian, and you pray that kind of prayer, he will drive you out with a kid. His logic, he says he only does that to demonstrate the power of God to the world. He said, but if you're a Christian, he thinks you should have enough sense to know that there is no male or female in Christ Jesus. He thinks you should have enough sense to know that whether it is a boy or a girl, they are the same thing. And if you don't have that sense, it's your problem, not his own. He's not going to join your folly. He said that when I was a young child, and of course, I didn't understand it. But much later, I grew up. I'm going somewhere when the church is not the church. So I was telling that person who asked me the question. I said, listen, that's my opinion today. That do I want a boy, do I want a girl? I said, listen, just as I like it. I said, but if my motivation is because, you know, then when my wife had a kinulut, I said, how are you? You deliver? Oh, okay, what do you have? It's a boy. They say, oh, full current. Have you heard that thing before? So my wife said, which one is half current? Listen, these are expressions you must never hear from the mouth of Christians. Please. I'm talking about Christians. So I told the people, and you've heard me, some of you have heard me say before, I said, in fact, my wife can testify to that. I said, listen, that we are Christians, we set the standard for the world. My village people cannot tell me whether I should have a boy or have a girl. So what if your father was a chief? That's his problem. Do I look like a chief? In case you do not know, I'm a king and a priest in Christ Jesus. I have the highest title that I will ever want on this earth. I boast in nothing other than that which God has made me in Christ Jesus. No, that's my attitude. They say that, maybe you are going to inherit a chieftain's title from your father. Listen, in fact, God knows that those chieftaincy titles that come with sacrificing and, joining some special societies, they are not going to take before. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Now, that's what I'm going to explain. So, I tell that story to bring out an issue here. That you see, I just wanted to explain that because it used as an illustration because somebody asked me about it recently. And I said, listen, as Christians, we have to be Christians. I'm going somewhere. Some people, till now, when they want to pray about marriage, the rules they still use is still the one drawn down from their village tradition. And that's what I'm talking about. That is what is called taking the name of God and applying to a vain village tradition because your God is a person that you obey. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That's why I said, look, should I have a boy or have a girl? Well, it means it's like, okay, you like a Ferrari, I like a Bentley. Both of them are expensive. One is big, tall, doesn't run too fast. One is very short, flies like lightning. You like it, I don't like it. In the same manner, Somebody may like a boy more than a girl. Somebody may like a girl more than a boy. In fact, these days, I hear say, men don't they check and say, you can have boys, but you must have at least one or two girls because they are the only ones that will let you in to their homes. You've heard the joke before. So, whatever be your reason, but please, people say, this is Africa. Listen, this outside may be Africa. Are you getting my point? But my heart is the kingdom of God. My home is the kingdom of heaven. Around me look like Africa. And I am not having children for Africa. I'm training the people that God is sending into my home. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is what Christianity is about. In the same manner, you are giving the name of God to a vain thing. When it's time to choose marriage, people say, my mother does not like people from that area. Your mother is not God. Your mother is just a senior sister in Christ Jesus. She's a believer. No, that's what it is. And I keep on saying to people, it is early you start educating them on this. You know the reason why I'm saying these things? Many times later in life, people start having marriage problems. They start calling on God and it does not answer. That's where I'm going. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But if people now start coming and calling upon the name of God, and God is like, are you talking to me? I can call your ego for you. Maybe that's the person you're talking to. He said, God, you will help me. You will help me. You see my tears. God said, there was a time. Wait, the girl, come, come. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Are you talking to me? I should go and call the council of elders in your family. Because when you wanted to make decisions, you understood the word of God totally. But you deliberately looked at that word, disobeyed it with clear eyes. There was no deception. So I've therefore told you, go back to those people and go and ask them that you obeyed to come and solve your problems. You cannot obey somebody else in life and hand over your problems for me to solve. Now the man will send you on errand. Now you get all the troubles on that errand. You know, when I'm talking about this name of God thing, people don't realize. Many, you see, if you know the way God judges us Christians, you are waiting to go to a shrine and say, hey, what's the name of Amadioha? Yes. Bow to Amadioha. Is that Amadioha? Is it only in home video they have Amadioha? Is it in real life? They have in real life? Good. So we look at those who are bowing to Amadioha as their idol worshippers. And they are. They are. I'm not saying they are not. But I'm not in Okija shrine here, am I? No. This is a gathering of believers. So I'm talking to them. What is idolatry for Christians? Remember, Aaron pointed to a calf and said, behold your God that brought you out of Egypt. He put a calf down. And this is what idolatry is for Christians. It is when we start obeying traditions, obeying rules and regulations that are diametrically opposed to the will of God. And I'm saying that is the reason why this faithful God, this good God, this dependable God doesn't seem to want to answer. That is the reason. So when I hear Christians talk, I look, you know, in fact, one day a sister was talking with me, I sat her down and said, listen, I don't care what you want have to say, repent of that statement. I said, repent of that statement. Let me give an example now. Assume I tell you that now, you know, I'm already married. Are you getting my point? I married almost 15 years ago, okay? So if I tell you now, I can't marry somebody from, okay, I'm leaving Enugu as an example, from Enugu. It's not a big deal, you think. Why? You married 15 years, who's planning to marry you anyway? You know that kind of thing. We know you have already married. But that statement is still a sin. That's what I want to emphasize. For a believer, it is still a sin. Even though I'm already married, I'm not looking for another wife. If I look for another wife, I won't see you here next Saturday. He will disappear somewhere else. That man is backsliding. Even though you know I am not looking for a wife, yet, if I make that statement, it is a sin. Because you must be careful, you know, especially if you're a preacher, all right? It's not just what you do, it's what you make other people do.